Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Craig Hemke. But first, dump gold, buy Bitcoin. What? What are investors thinking, Stacy?
That's a good question. This is a headline from the Financial Press, and it reads, "Investors are dumping gold to buy Bitcoin," says strategist. The strategist is Larry McDonald, head of U.S. macro strategy at ACG Analytics. As you know, gold has been kind of down a little bit, 2% in the past few months, but the fourth quarter has been really bad for gold miners. They're down 15% as we head into the end of the year. And Larry McDonald says that if you add up all the cryptocurrencies and the liquid gold that's in the market right now, the cryptocurrencies in market cap are now 23% of the liquid tradable gold. That's up from 2 or 3% a year ago. So cryptocurrencies are definitely eating into the gold play.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, we've been saying this and seeing this for a few years now. And of course, the gold market people have been resisting this idea. They can't seem to get into their heads how this digital unit of value exchange, Bitcoin, can compete with gold. But more and more of the gold community is switching over to Bitcoin, and clearly investors, it's a lot easier to participate in Bitcoin than it is to in gold. I just, you know, this trend is not going to stop, Stacy.
In fact, Bloomberg came out with an article soon after this one where they said that hedge funds in particular have grown totally bored of gold because it hasn't moved really since 2011. So it's been hanging out in a tight range for the last few years. And they like the dramatic ups and downs of the cryptocurrency market. So Bloomberg News is reporting that it's the hedge funds in particular that are dumping gold and moving into a more an arena where they have much more volatility. And now the futures contracts just started on the big exchange, the CME markets for Bitcoin trading.
Well, you know, 2018 is going to be the year we see something come true, something we predicted for now several years, it looks like, and the Financial Press is agreeing with this, that central banks are going to start buying Bitcoin to add to their gold reserves. So that will bring the whole magic of the design of Bitcoin, which is based in part on game theory, up to the sovereign level and the central bank level, which should offer another huge upside boost.
So it's Bitcoin's 9th birthday coming up on January 3rd. So it's only 9 years old. Gold, of course, has been around for 5,000 years as a currency, as a money. So I think it's time to turn to Craig Hemke of the TF Metals Report and ask him, Craig, what do you think of people dumping gold in order to buy Bitcoin?
Well, hi, guys. Nice to visit with you again. I guess I can't really blame people at this point, right? I wouldn't lump myself in with the rest of the gold community that seems to think it's one or the other, as I've owned both. I've owned Bitcoin now for about a year and a half, and not as long as you guys have. You guys have been prompting me to look at it for a lot longer than that, and I finally wised up about a year and a half ago. So it's been fun. And I think a lot of the gold community probably is frustrated because they haven't been along for the ride, right? So many people tried to write it off early and continue to this day. I don't know. I suppose if you stay in gold only, there's maybe an opportunity cost, you know, since the price, like you said, Stacy, has been kind of flatlined since about 2013 or 14. In a way, there's an opportunity cost there that your money's tied up in gold and not really growing. I mean, what was it, just 7 or 8 months ago, Bitcoin was the same price as an ounce of gold, and everybody thought, wow, now it's, what, 10 times that. But I wouldn't run up the white flag and go dumping my physical gold holdings just yet. The reasons that we own gold continue to, I mean, they remain strong. The distortions in the market remain the same, if not even worse. And I think there's going to be a time when, I mean, we've seen how much assets, you know, the $14 trillion or whatever it is that the central banks have created in the last 10 years, when that money starts to move in one direction, you get moves like we've had in the cryptos. Well, when that money moves again in the direction of the precious metals, it's going to make 2011 look like a sideshow. I mean, Max, when you were doing the buy silver crash JP Morgan, we got to what, 48? If some of this $14 trillion moves into that little itty bitty $16 billion silver market, 48 is going to be a pretty low target. And so we wait for that. While we wait, like I said, there's an opportunity cost, but I wouldn't just give up just yet.
Yeah, you make a good point. Gold and silver would be definitely a contrarian play at this point. And a lot of times that's where you want to look for value. And you're right in terms of the amount of money that's sloshing around the system. If it does start to look at gold and silver, you know, what do you think about this idea that gold and silver for years have been kept down through the machinations of the government and the exchanges using naked short sales and this type of thing? You know, Bitcoin, if it can disrupt the financial system and start to apply pressure to these guys to reform, some of them not making it, some of them going out of business, does this kind of open the path toward a higher gold and silver price?
Oh, no doubt about it, Max. I mean, we're all in the boat rowing in the same direction, right? These are all alternatives to this government-created, central bank-created, you know, what they're trying to pass off as money. Bitcoin, gold, silver, all kind of in that same boat. And so anything that Bitcoin does to, I guess, draw attention away or educate folks that that money is not just simply a piece of paper issued by a central bank, I think is good for everybody. We're educating a whole new generation, really, of people, not just the millennials, though. We're talking, I mean, really anybody that bought Bitcoin out, and some do it just as a speculative investment, but most folks realize, you know, this is an alternative form of savings. This is a way I can save and store all my hard work in a way that actually grows rather than is constantly devalued as to what's happened to the dollar over the last 100 years. And so I think it's great, and I think it helps gold and silver in many regards, and the damage that it can do to the banks is just one of them.
So let's go back to this point that Max brought up about a contrarian bet on gold and silver, because as I said at the top of the show, investors are dumping gold to buy Bitcoin. So you're at TF Metals Report, you look at charts, you look at the data. What do we need to see for a sign of total capitulation? This is certainly the headlines, maybe on Barron's. If Barron's says buy Bitcoin, dump your gold, maybe that's the sign. What sort of data are you looking at that might suggest we're getting close to the point of capitulation on gold? You know, what would tell you, what data would tell you that, you know, the final strong hands, those guys who have been hanging on through this whole sort of sideways move for the last 4 or 5 years, what sort of sign would show you that they finally capitulated, they've been shaking out, they're ready to dump their gold and they're going to go long Bitcoin or whatever other asset, join the equity bull market? What sort of data will tell you, okay, there is definitely blood on the streets, we've got to buy?
Yeah, there's a couple of different things that you could look at, Stacy. And it's hard to say, though, that any one is a true measure. You know, we can look at the amount of gold that's allegedly held in the GLD and the other ETFs, but that hasn't been washed out. I mean, it's still well above the lows from a couple of years ago. So, you know, investors dumping their gold, they don't seem to be doing it there. We look at the open interest on places like the COMEX exchange in New York. But again, that's not at levels. I mean, we've been at lower levels than this 4 or 5 years ago. So you can look at things, you can look at the gold volatility index, and maybe that kind of tells you something, that there's a lack of interest. It's just really hard to measure quantitatively that idea of people dumping gold for Bitcoin. But I think the case could be made that it's shunting some interest away. And maybe that's what that drop in the volatility is all about. But it's a tough thing to say where that capitulation is. I think in some regards, we always, the traditional sense of capitulation and marking a bottom always has to do with price, you know, blood in the streets and all that kind of stuff. And I've maintained now for really going back to 2015 that we're kind of at a capitulation just in terms of sentiment. And this gets back, I think, maybe closer to what you're asking, Stacey, in that it seems as if, you know, people have just given up. I mean, I've seen it on my site. You know, the amount of subscribers that I have to my service is pretty steady all the time, but it ebbs and flows. And it's ebbed again here as people just kind of run up the white flag. They say, you know, these banks, they just got their fingers on the price, their thumbs on the price, and they're never going to let it up. And they start thinking about that opportunity cost we talked about earlier. And so I think in some regards, capitulation is sentiment. And since sentiment's often tied to price, I guess that makes some sense too. And man, you can definitely make the case that sentiment's about as bad or just disinterested as maybe it's ever been. So maybe in that regards, yeah, we are at a good contrarian point here and ready to roll.
Yeah, well, meanwhile, Bitcoin is inching up the financial slippery pole of acceptance. And with these futures contracts that are now being launched, looks like they're going to get an ETF launched, an exchange-traded fund for Bitcoin, probably sooner than later. And so now you've got the mom and pops in there. So every broker in America, and there's probably 200,000 of them, can call up grandma, grandpa, and everybody in between and say, hey, you know, put $10,000 into this Bitcoin ETF. What do you think the impact will be there, Craig?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tell you what, Max, if you go back to Thanksgiving weekend, remember that was about the last time we saw a really big surge that has led us to where we are now, whatever that was, 3-4 weeks ago. And places like Coinbase suddenly had 100,000 new accounts over that weekend. And it was almost as if here in the States, everybody sat around their Thanksgiving table and said, hey, do you know anything about Bitcoin? And then somebody raised their hand and said, oh, yeah, and it's easy. You go to a place like Coinbase, you open up an account. I wonder if the same thing's not coming here with Christmas holidays. You know, we're going to get another big surge like that. It would make sense to me. You know, this financialization of it, I think, is interesting, though. Obviously, the banks, the big banks, anytime they see an opportunity to make some money, whether it's on the long side or the short side, they're going to try to get involved. Whether it's just collecting fees through an ETF, they're going to try to get involved. And in these futures, I mean, Max, you know more about how these futures are going to be settled than I do. And I just don't know if they're going to have a lot of folks presume they're going to have a negative impact, just at least in the gold community, because we know how gold futures have had a negative impact on price, how the banks make a market, and they're the ones that are always issuing the contracts just on a naked basis because none of these miners are coming to them to hedge anymore. So the banks are just taking the risk. And then they win because they've got deeper pockets. And I think a lot of folks think, you know, the banks are going to do the exact same role in Bitcoin futures. But, you know, I read something, I think it was just last week or maybe right before the other contract went live last week. It said, you know what? It might be that the banks take the other side because they don't have a stockpile, or maybe they've tried to accumulate some, and that's part of this rise, but they don't have a big stockpile of Bitcoin that they can hedge against. And it would be so easy if your pockets were deep enough to just create this upward virtuous spiral of higher prices by buying the futures and buying Bitcoin at the same time. I mean, that would seem to be, again, if you were, you know, JP Morgan trading desk or Goldman Sachs with infinite amount of funds, you could really float your boat on something like that. So I'm not certain that the introduction of futures is like, you know, just going to crush price like it did to uranium in 2007 or what if, you know, what it's they've been able to do to the metals. It's going to be really interesting to watch how this plays out.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I would tend to agree with that. You know, what about now, you know, the pushback by the EU, and apparently there's going to be an agenda item on the next G20 meeting to consider Bitcoin, regulating Bitcoin. So the states and the big banks and the global institutions are now nervous that their franchise is being disrupted. Can they stop it?
Don't you kind of feel it's a bit like a whack-a-mole, Max? You know, if they put their thumbs on Bitcoin and try to regulate it and everything else that goes with it, there's just going to, you know, Ethereum and Litecoin and Dash and all these others are just going to pop up. You know, money's going to flow out of Bitcoin if they make it that bad. And it's just going to flow to whatever the next possible solutions are. And in a sense, it's like a terracotta army, right? Whatever it is. I mean, they'll just make more. And for every one Bitcoin that you smash, there's 10 more alternative coins that pop up. And I think the genie's out of the bottle, man. I'm not sure the central banks and the big banks can control this anymore.
Yeah, it's like the Sorcerer's Apprentice, except this time Mickey Mouse wins. Okay, well, that's going to do it for Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Craig Hemke. Until next week. Bye, y'all.